This is CliffCentral.com.
I made up the same things.
Such a dope way to kick off the show. We could all use a bit more freedom, if I can say that. You know, I was trying to come up with this clever way to, you know, infuse the song and what I have to say, but it didn't happen. It did not happen. Anyway, welcome to it. My name is Just Another Cool Kid, Jack for short. And welcome to it, man. It is 20-something. Unfortunately, this morning I am riding solo. Nelvin Given is not around to keep me company. He's in Pretoria doing his thing over there, but that's chilled. Today I'm joined by a very good friend of mine, Mo. How you doing, brother?
I'm easy, brother.
You're easy. Okay, easy. Let me find... There you are. There you are.
A lot better.
Yeah. Firstly, let me start off by saying congratulations. I don't know if congratulations is the right word to use, but your baby girl got baptized yesterday.
Yes, she did.
Man. I'm so sorry I missed that.
No, it's understood. It's that time of the year, so...
Yeah.
It was a pretty epic turn up, though. You know how these things happen.
Yeah. You know, can you imagine a baby girl getting baptized and the first thing that comes out of your mouth, it was an epic turn up?
Yeah.
Like, wow.
My folks went hard.
Yeah.
My woman went hard. The fellas went hard. So it was a proper turn up.
Yeah. No, man. I'm glad everything came together. And all right. So we are going to be, well, at least try to break down what happened this past year.
Right. 2015.
2015 in our own little unique special way here on 20-something. If you want to be a part of the conversation, all you have to do is on Twitter, hashtag 20somethingCC, and as well as at cliffcentral.com, at jack_5'4". If you want to do the old school thing, 0861-555-189, if you agree or disagree with anything we have to say. On Facebook as well, it's Cliff Central. WeChat ID Cliff Central. All you have to do is to send a message on WeChat. You have to tap connect and then message to show. So where do we kick it off, Mo? I don't know. The biggest story for this year.
Biggest story, Zuma must fall.
I don't think so.
What's bigger than that?
I don't think so. There were a couple of things that happened, but Zuma must fall. And the march apparently was very small. It was like, you know what I mean? Fees must fall was much bigger, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's made a lot of people a lot better off. So when you look at the context of it,
yeah,
what it's done is it's made a lot more people aware of the real issues on the ground.
True.
And it's forced up our government to wake up. Yeah.
And when you think about it, I mean, the whole march in itself. I was so impressed with how people actually got up off their asses and actually did something about it. I mean, we've seen this happen more than once where a great idea or a good cause is spread across the country, but no one actually gets up to do anything about it. I was impressed that the students actually went out there and did something.
Yeah. Although I've got my reservations on that, on how it came together.
Okay.
You know, you've got all these students every year doing that same thing, and it takes a couple of kids from Wits and a couple of kids from UCT,
yeah,
you know, Grahamstown, Stellenbosch, your affluent schools,
yeah,
for there to be something. Look, I mean, I'm a Wits grad, so I'm not taking anything away from everyone else, but why aren't we listening to the
TUT
masses? Yeah, yes. Why aren't we listening to TUT?
Because, I mean, they've been doing it for years.
For
now.
Years.
We can actually call them Fees Must Fall veterans,
exactly.
To be honest.
Exactly. You know, they started it.
Yeah, I mean, I went to TUT from 2010,
yeah,
and every single year it was the same issues,
yeah,
brought up by the same people trying to do the exact same thing. And
yeah, now you get a couple of affluent kids from Wits, they come together, and then the whole country wakes up and it's an issue.
But yeah, what does that say about our society, though? What does that say about this country?
It's exactly what it is, man. It's privilege. Yeah. Without being too racial about it, it's white privilege.
Yeah.
You know, when the right people, when the kids of the right people stand up and start complaining, their voices are heard.
I feel it should be, it doesn't matter whose kids are complaining. It shouldn't be a thing of the kids of the right people. I mean, what are the rest of us? Are we the wrong people? If you're going to TUT, you've got the wrong parents.
I guess so.
It's such a weird thing, man. It's just, how do we live in a society that condones such? How do we let such happen?
It's not about us letting things happen. It's just the makeup of the way things are. Reality is, even when we were in varsity, you know, 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
Even longer. Me, it's what, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, these things were happening. We'd go to TUT, you'd go to the CUTs, and the kids would be complaining about the same things. But it takes a couple of Vids kids for the mood to change, and that's it.
I think it was also, for me, it raised a couple of eyebrows on, you know, for me, the fact that, you know, considering the type of establishment that Vids is, and the SRC is this black girl standing in front of the masses, seemingly advocating, you know.
Look, it's taken a while, hey? It's taken a while for that to happen.
Yeah.
It's not like an overnight thing. Like, it's taken a minute. But it's the right thing. It's the right direction. It's the right move. And the nice thing about what happened and how they managed it is that they didn't let people come in with their own agendas and take over.
Yeah.
You know, it was a wonderfully conducted, peaceful setup. The way they even marched to the union buildings was very appropriate.
Unfortunately, what happened once they got to the union buildings?
Yeah, but you're always going to get a little bit of that. You know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I guess so. The question then becomes, does it, the effect that it has on the march as a whole? I mean, I was watching this whole thing on TV. I was like, I'm not going anywhere close to that. You know, especially when they started burning bathrooms, like these portable toilets.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe that. But I mean, I was thinking to myself while I was watching this that even though they had at least achieved what they had gone out to achieve,
yeah,
because of the rowdiness, they didn't even find out that they had won, because the president decided to announced this, I mean, there were some safety issues, so he couldn't really come out and speak to them. But I mean, he had to make the announcement from some conference room within the union buildings. They didn't even know that they achieved their goal because of all that rowdiness.
Yeah, but the soldiers are always the last people to find out when they've won the war.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that throughout history all over the world, and it's just one of those things. And From what I've heard from the people that I've spoken to that were involved in the negotiations and all of that, a lot of this stuff was done the day before.
Is it?
Yeah. A lot of that stuff was done the day before. And the right, I think we're going into a phase where if we can keep on breeding these kids in the right direction, making sure that they stick to their guns like they did with this one, then we got a promising future here in South Africa.
We do. I think, you know, amidst all the madness, I think our country is still, you know, we still pretty cool, man. I don't think it's time for us to really lose our minds and think we are
nowhere from anywhere. So I still rate South Africa as the best country in the world.
Same here, without a doubt.
That's me being patriotic, and,
right there,
and a little biased as well.
True. Without a doubt. I mean, I wouldn't imagine living anywhere else. However, our country has got a couple of unique problems, if I can put it that way.
Of course.
What just recently happened with the finance minister, for instance. That was, I mean, I really don't even know what to say when it comes to what just happened. I mean, this guy, Mr. Van Rooyen. Yeah. Like, I don't want to disrespect the dude, because I mean, he was just unfortunately a victim of circumstance. But I mean, he was the finance minister for all of a weekend.
Yeah. Walked in on the Friday, walked out on the Sunday. It is what it is.
Where else does that happen? I don't think that has happened anywhere else in the world.
You
besides
know what? The other thing about us as a country is we're so transparent. I mean, our media industry is so good Yeah, our journalists are so good. We're one of the best. And when somebody sneezes, everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. So the highly likelihood is things like this have been happening around the world. It's just we've got the right people in the right places conveying the information.
I tried to follow the story. It's just that it got me a little bit tired. I wanted to find out what actually led to his demotion. Was it because of the public opinion? Or was it just, okay, you know what? I actually made a mistake here. I shouldn't have put this guy there.
You know what? There's a lot of conspiracy theories. And I've got a banking history, banking background, finance. So a lot of the stuff is things that we analyze in detail. And there's a lot of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that Nene left and now is supposed to be the chairman of the BRICS Bank.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
and that happens literally a week after the S&P and Moody's assessments, and what, 2 days after the Chinese leave and pledge $60 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things. Yeah, and there are people that are more powerful than Zuma in the country, whether we like to say it or not.
Yeah.
So if you got a tap on the shoulder and said, you know, make the right move, we don't know if it's Nene's personal issues, seeing that he's got a career at the BRICS Bank, that's his.
Well, I mean, I guess it is comforting that he's being redeployed to something that is extremely important for this country as well.
And he's a highly respected guy.
Yeah,
highly respected gentleman. No doubt. He's very good at what he does. And I think the only misstep there was appointing a guy like Van Rooyen, who doesn't have the history and the pedigree, and you know, people don't know about him in the markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? At least it only lasted 3 days. The guys didn't sit back and say, hey, you know, they went back to one of the old dogs and they said, look, here you go. They went to PG and said, take over.
Yeah.
And that kind of stabilized things for the meanwhile.
And a lot of people were crying wolf. Like, we are doomed. We are going to... I saw so many headlines. I didn't give much credence to those headlines. But, I mean, I saw tons of them, saying that we are going to go into a recession and all of this stuff. And it made me wonder, do these people honestly believe, you know, one man essentially being moved from one place to another would crumble the economy of the country?
It's not the one man, it's the decision-making ability of that man. So it's the fact that he has to sign off things like the SAA deal, you know, the nuclear deal, although it's been passed off regardless of Van Rooyen taking a downstep. It's those sort of things that people are scared of, that you've got all this tax money being at the disposal of Treasury, and then someone who they feel is susceptible to influence by people that they don't like. And that's the other thing, is where are we getting our media from? You know, what sort of, because there's the leftists, there's the rightists, and then you kind of make your own opinion in there.
Yeah.
And if you're always going to be listening to the doom and gloom, that's exactly what you're going to get. Doom and gloom. Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of up to you as a person. You need to make up your own mind and decide exactly what it is that you think of the situation. And yeah, it was a bit of a fumble with the Van Rooyen saga, but they fixed it relatively quickly.
It took just a weekend.
Exactly. And that weekend now puts the whole country, everybody's flipping over, and there's marches or picnics.
It was a picnic.
These guys had their cooler boxes, and you know, If they want to learn how to march, then let's holler at Kosatu.
Interestingly enough, when you think back at when Nene was appointed, I mean, there were tons of naysayers back then.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were right back on the horse. They jumped right back on the horse as soon as he got moved, saying that he should have stayed there and blah, 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 blah,
exactly.
blah.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you go left, someone's going to complain. You go right, someone's going to complain. You don't do anything, there's always going to be someone who's going to complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm glad we dealt with that. We can move that one. In fact, I was listening to the podcast of the show that we did on the 2nd of January earlier on this year. And we spoke about Oscar. And strangely enough, we are basically a year on.
Yeah.
And here we are again, speaking about the very same guy.
Unluckiest guy in the country. Unlucky.
Extremely unlucky.
Unlucky.
So the conviction has been changed.
Yeah.
Murder.
Yeah, murder, minimum 15 years. Yeah, no, look, I mean, for a guy to go through all that effort, look, you know, taking a step back, and regardless of what he did, I'm not for it, I'm not against it, I'm agnostic.
Yeah.
Point is, he got convicted, he went through the whole process, spent a ton of money, did his time. Whether people feel that that's fair or not, go to prison and tell me, you know, go do 11 months in prison and come tell me whether it's fair or not.
Yeah.
And then he comes back out of that thinking he's good to go, get his life back, because he's still young. I mean, he's our age. He's 28.
Yeah.
And then they say, no, buddy, you got to go back for another, you know, 15 minimum.
Possibly, yeah.
Minimum 15.
Minimum, yeah.
You know, and if you do a fifth of that, that's 3 years. So he's got another 2.5 years, give or take, good behavior.
That must be.
That must be the most painful thing.
You know, yeah. having to get your life back a little bit.
Exactly.
Or a fraction of it, and then being turned around again to say, no, go back. Yeah, we weren't done with you the first time around.
Exactly. Got about, you know, it's like somebody giving you something and taking it right back.
Yeah.
It's just not cool, man.
It's... Look, well, I mean, our feelings for what he did and all of this stuff aside,
yeah,
that must have been rough. It must be rough.
Look, it must be rough, regardless of whether it was intentional or whether it was accident. I mean, no one really knows. None of us were there, so we don't even know. But to wake up the next day and know that, you know, this person that you loved is no longer going to be with you, firstly.
Yeah.
And then secondly, to have to deal with all this other stuff as a result of it, and your whole life falls apart. I mean, going from being on top of the world one day to being locked out in a 4x4 cell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know how to deal with something like that.
I guess, you know, from another perspective, can we now look at, you know, our justice system to say that at least they somewhat finally got it right?
I don't know.
Is it an indication that, you know, even though they kind of dropped the ball the first time around, they got a second stab at it and, you know, they got it right?
I'm a little indifferent when it comes to things like that, because if it was just a normal guy, would the national prosecutor have gone through all that effort?
I wonder.
Would they have taken the time and effort and resources, or are they going out and setting this up as an example to say, look, if a guy like Oscar is not going to get away with it, then you must know that man on the street's definitely not going to get away with it. So that's the other thing. It's that catch 22.
It is. I honestly do not believe they would have gone through that much trouble had it been for a regular Joel.
Exactly.
You
same,
know, I
same
think
thing
it
with
would've...
Troop Troop.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing with Troop Troop. They went through all that effort, and now these guys are being shown as an example and their deterrence to the masses. So it's, I don't know. It's a little unfair for the layman on the side of the road, because you know that you'll never get justice.
Yeah.
But I guess for the Steenkamp family, they feel a lot better where they are.
That's something else I've always struggled with. I mean, look, as heinous as the crime was, having him behind bars won't bring back your daughter, your child. You know, I think when we look at you know how all of these things happen, I mean, if Oscar is going to kill someone else, in you know, with the same MO, then that would make that would mean that Oscar would have to get a girlfriend, move into some big house somewhere in Pretoria, and have her go to the bathroom while he's, you know, all of these things. I mean, I don't see that kind of.
Yeah, but it's so this example would be like a social deterrent. It would be them saying that if people want to try this sort of stuff, then they know that if they do, they'll get punished to the last letter of the law, and that's it. And having the ability to showcase it with a guy like Oscar, where it's not just a national trial, it's an international trial.
Yeah.
I mean, you switch on BBC, Sky, some of the bigger international networks, and that story ran and still runs.
Yeah.
The day they lifted that murder conviction, I heard that off one of the UK news networks, not even through ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. All I know is next year I don't want to be talking about Oscar anymore.
Nah, I think.
I think it's about time we, you know, move on to bigger and better things.
Definitely. He's a big boy. He did what he did. He must deal with the consequences. Let's all move on.
It's about time. Yeah. It really is about time. Anyway,
yeah, man.
20 minutes into it. If you guys do want to join the conversation, hashtag 20somethingCC at CliffCentral.com, at Jack_5'4", Facebook, Cliff Central, WeChat, Cliff Central, tap connect, then message to show. Okay. Couple of other things happened internationally and nationally, this past year. It's been a very interesting year.
It's been a heavy year, but it's been so quick.
It has been.
2 seconds.
It felt like
5 minutes we were here.
You know?
Saying what might be.
And
now it's all done.
So many things happened. I actually was listening to, as I said, I was listening to the podcast. We made a couple of predictions.
Yeah.
We made a couple of predictions and a lot of them were wrong.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. A lot of them were very wrong. You know what, Mo? I know you're a Chelsea fan. Oh, so I'm sorry.
Let's not go there.
Can we just in fact none of us predicted. Let's not even start with Chelsea. Yeah. None of us predicted that Leicester City would be at the top of the log. No one saw that one coming.
No.
Well, I don't think any of us saw that one coming.
Well, there was one smart chap in the UK who did. He bet £5 on Leicester being top of the league Christmas, and now he's winning what, five or 50,000 pounds?
Wow.
As a result of that. You know. But other than that, I mean, all of us now.
No one thought that. I mean, Leicester City this time last year were in, I think they were in 17th position.
Yeah, no, they were struggling to get out of relegation.
They were fighting a relegation battle, and now we're speaking about them actually being in a position to win.
I think that's still a little far-fetched. Look, they're good. They're good. Watched them the past 2 or 3 weeks. They are very good. But whether they have what it takes to get past the January transfer season.
Yeah.
If you look at the value of their whole squad versus what one of the big EPL teams is willing to pay for a Vardy or Mahrez, I don't see them keeping Vardy or Mahrez past
the transfer window. Yeah. Yeah.
And if they do, look, we've yet to see the rest of their squad.
We haven't seen
anyone else other than their base starting 11 plus 1 or 2, 3 guys. So we don't know what else they have to offer.
We haven't really seen their depth being, you know,
they're being tested. Yeah. No injuries, no funny things. So,
you know, it's been a pretty good season as far as that is concerned as well.
Definitely.
But I think it has really opened up the Barclays Premier League.
No, it has.
Considering as well, I am sorry I have to bring it up again, Chelsea being in the weird position that they, I don't think Chelsea has ever been that low. Well, not while I've been alive.
Since I've been alive, since I've known about football, we've never been that low. Maybe 6th, 7th, 8th. But never 15th. What are we this morning? 14th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, these things happen. It's football. And this is why we love the game. Because of things like this.
Yeah, true. No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, just yesterday, Real Madrid did... I don't know what we could call that. I mean, against Rayo Vallecano. I mean, seriously? 10-2? Yeah. It looked like a practice game.
Yeah, but
they were warming up and stuff.
That's the disparity of the leagues. That's why we all focus on this one league and all the others are kind of like, yeah, we'll see you guys in Champions League.
Yeah.
Because when they're at home, when you're doing 10-2, you know, like, what's happening?
What is happening?
Yeah.
Red card aside, I mean, still.
Look, unless there were like 5 guys on the other side, it really doesn't make sense to lose 10-2.
It doesn't. You know, as a professional soccer team, yes.
Exactly. All you guys do is play footy. That's it. You wake up, you go train, you play footy all day, every day, and then you go lose 10-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's anyways.
That's some Vela League type. So
good stuff.
As a Chelsea fan, what is your remedy, man? How do we solve this problem? I am not a Chelsea fan personally.
Yeah.
But I am not comfortable seeing Chelsea
down there.
No. Look, it just doesn't look good.
I think in the league it's tea for us. We won't get relegated. I mean that's nonsensical. But we won't make top four either. So we'll kind of just float around somewhere in there and finish off the league. The only thing we do have, well, we've got two. We've got the FA Cup and we've got the Champions League.
Yeah.
And you know the Champions League is a coin toss.
It is.
You rock up that day, that form against that team, it's a win or lose sort of thing.
You guys are drawn against PSG.
Again. Third time. Third time.
What happened last season?
We got unlucky. That, you know, when the guy that you sold comes back and haunts you.
Yeah.
It hurts, man. It hurts.
What? I don't see you guys being any luckier this season.
Look, they've got a much better team this season with Di Maria coming in.
And as well as their form has been.
But look, their form in what, France?
Yeah.
Does that matter? It's like saying Bayern Munich in Germany. It doesn't matter. Every season they win with 3, 4, 5 games to spare. That's not real. You know, let them Champions League, they come in and they get taken by a...
I wouldn't say it's not real. You're simplifying this a bit too much. You can't say that it's not real.
Look,
it has to count for something. It does count for something.
No, look, it does count for something. But look at Liverpool yesterday. 3-0 to Watford.
Yes.
Who would have said?
I didn't even know who Watford was.
Exactly. Until they put 3 past Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing. And I mean you got that sort of intensity in one league where we know
anything could happen.
Yeah. And in the other ones we don't really watch. I mean, we'll watch, you know, you'll watch Bayern versus
Borussia
Dortmund, you'll watch, you know, Real versus Barca, but anything more than that, you're not really getting involved.
It's
in France, I've never watched a French league game.
No,
I wouldn't even know where to catch it.
Yeah, I just, that's the thing. I Google everything. I mean, as far as these other leagues are concerned, I Google everything. And you're gonna find this very shocking, but I do not watch Barclays Premier League at
you
all.
Don't.
I don't know. I just find the games a little bit tedious. It's as far as what happens on the log, it's forever interesting. It's just watching the full 90 minutes. I don't know.
You know what? Do yourself a favor tonight at 10 o'clock and watch Arsenal versus City. It might change your mind.
All right. On that note, I hate having to say this, but we're going to have to pay the bills. Blah.
When you're in the back seat with 4 multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Join us for the sexiest VIP party at Madison Avenue, Santon's newest nightclub. Cliff Central's taking over the VIP area, so join us as our special VIP and start 2016 on the right note. General admission is 200 Rand, but our exclusive VIP party together with Absolute Vodka is 500 Rand, which includes great music with me, Gareth Cliff O'Neill, Miss Prue and the Cliff Central crew, an outdoor tented area, lots of bars, food, prizes, gorgeous people, and a night to remember. Book now for Cliff Central Rocks Madison at CompuTicket.com. Go to CliffCentral.com for more details and stay tuned for everything you need to know. Be absolute and rock into 2016 with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Do Like I Do, the remix with a bunch of people, man. Ricky Rick is in there, El Tito, Cuesta, Nadia Nakai, and you know, RIP to the legend himself. The man himself. Bing Kabu Chinchi Flow, but I was like, fuck it. You know, Flabba, rest in peace, man. And strangely enough, not strangely enough, his girlfriend also convicted, and she's gone. She must just stay there. Because I think she robbed us of one of the most talented rappers this country has ever seen. One of the most unique.
Definitely.
You know, Squatter Camp was together for tons of years. And they won, like, what, 2 or 3 summers?
Yeah.
He drops one album and wins Album of the Year. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just goes to show, like, if you are a class above the rest, then, you know, we need to applaud you.
Definitely.
And so on that sad note, you know, shout out to Flava. Rest in peace, man.
You
will be forever be missed. All right. A lot of sporting things. A lot of sports happen this year. Sporting events. We saw the Cricket World Cup happen this past year. Heartbreak again.
At least we didn't choke.
We didn't choke. I don't think we choked.
We got beat by the better side.
On the day.
On the day. Yeah, definitely.
No doubt. We had a Southern Hemisphere final, Australia, New Zealand.
Well, when it comes to
cricket,
rugby,
and rugby,
you know, like that's what we do here, man.
Yeah, kick ass.
Like we're beyond, you know, Southern Hemisphere sports are those ones.
Yeah, we just kick ass. Rugby World Cup, that was another one that just.
Yeah, but we all knew what was going to happen. We were going to get the shit kicked out of us.
I don't think that's what happened. I think that semi-final was not... We didn't just get shit kicked out of us. I think that was... If we were going to lose this year, I think that was how we were supposed to lose. Not just, you know, a thrashing.
But the way it played out, that loss to Japan, opening game...
Yeah.
If we hadn't lost that, we wouldn't have made it out. We wouldn't have done anything. The fact that we lost that game kind of built our whole World Cup, because the guys were together. They knew that, hey, 1 year.
Yeah.
Like it's real. And look, we played a good game. We got outwitted. I can't say outplayed. We got outwitted. The way Carter handled that game, it's Carter, man.
Yeah.
You know, the Messi of rugby.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing, when he was doing it, how, and he killed us. And that's it.
Yeah, and well, I think what we can take away from that is we at least got beaten by the team that went on.
No, look, that was the final. That was the final before the final.
Yeah,
that final against Australia was.
Yeah. It was not that great to watch.
No, it was New Zealand just running the shit like they do
all the time,
and the Wallabies they just weren't good enough, and the fact that they lost Gito, you know, 10 minutes in. Just fuck shit up for them.
I guess on the other end, we could say that it was a befitting send-off for one of the greatest captains we've ever seen.
Definitely.
In the game of rugby, Richie McCaw. I mean, that guy, man. I think if there are kids out there that want to join the game of rugby...
Watch that guy.
Watch that guy.
Yeah, no.
You know?
But... It wasn't just a send-off to him. I mean, when you look at the rest of the guys, you look at the age and the caliber and what they've done, you know, the Ma Nonus, the Dan Carters.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't expect to see them ever again.
True.
You know?
Very true.
And to watch how they did it, the way, the style, the finesse, the IQ of the game, that's just done. Sort of.
You know, I actually just want to Google Richie McCaw, just so you guys can understand... What this guy did, man. Like, a friend of mine from high school, he's a fanatic. Like, he's a Richie McCaw fanatic. And he just posted up some of this guy's achievements. And it's insane. Here we go. Richie McCaw, who captained the All Blacks, the country's national team, in 110 of his 148 matches.
Yeah, 2 World Cups.
Can you imagine, man? Like, how do you... What do we call this? What is this, man? This guy is the epitome of what sports people in general should be about.
As a young rugby player, that's what you strive to become.
Yeah.
You know, and the next step in his career is to get back into the game as a manager and, you know, pass on all of that.
Yeah.
Because that's always wonderful to see where you get the best sort of player coming back and imparting all of the stuff that he learned and giving back.
Yeah.
And yeah,
On the subject of rugby specifically, the All Blacks. We also heard the sad news about one of the greatest as well, Jonah Lomu. You know, and him succumbing to. I think it was a heart attack, right? Or
he had kidney issues at some stage as well.
So that was sad. That was another situation whereby, you know, it caught the world off guard. It certainly caught me off guard. I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, and he was involved. I mean, I think that a couple of days before he actually passed, I was watching that docu that he did for the World Cup, where he came and he was mentoring one of the kids at Western Province from Mitchell's Plain, and they have this whole docu on, I think, on one of the sports channels. And to see something like that and then to watch the guy pass on a couple of days later, you know, such a great guy, such an ambassador for the sport.
And from what I gathered, apparently he was a really genuinely nice guy. You know, one of those gentle giants, you know?
I never met the guy, but he always looked that way.
As I said, from what I've heard, we can't really confirm.
Confirm or deny. You know,
can confirm or deny. Okay, let's move on from sports, unless you've got something in mind that we didn't cover.
I think
we covered the biggie.
Except for the AFCON. Bafana, but let's move on.
Yeah, let's cover the biggies. Shout out to Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire, for winning African Cup of Nations, your second crown. You know, all the you know, best wishes to you guys. As far as South Africa is concerned, moment of silence. Thank you. Right, moving swiftly along. Let's look at what happened in music this year. Let's look at what happened in music this year.
Adele.
I think that is...
Adele happened in music this year.
The only thing we can...
She broke everything.
Talk about.
She broke the internet and the internet's internet. And all the streaming sites and everything else.
Everything.
Yeah. Like, it's Adele, man. She did it again.
I don't know what it is that makes Adele... Adele, man, like what is it specifically about this woman that the world loves so much? I know she's a great singer, a fantastic songwriter and all of this stuff, but really?
Yeah, you know, she makes you miss that thing that you didn't even know that you had. You're just there. I don't know what she does, man, but you know, she's amazing.
She really is. Yeah. She really is. Have you taken the time to listen to 25?
Just been busy running around, but yeah, a bit here and there, but it's good. I mean, it's a lot of the same Adele stuff, but obviously she's taking it to the next level and she's delivering and doing her thing, so shout out to her.
Yeah, man. And I think in as far as consistency is concerned, I don't think in our time we've seen more, especially with female musicians, I don't think in our time we've seen anyone more consistent than she is.
Yeah, I mean, her, maybe Beyonce, but not obviously not to the level that Adele's been doing it. But look, there's a couple there, you know, your Taylor Swift, not that I listen, but she makes moves.
She made a very major move calling out Apple on what Apple wanted to do was, you know, give 3 months free streaming to, you know, their new service and all of this stuff. And Taylor came out and said, look, I'm not necessarily trying to advocate for myself, but I'm also thinking about that up and coming artist who's just about to break into the industry stuff. And she won.
Which is the right thing, because Adele did the same thing pretty much, but she did it and took it to the next level.
Yeah.
You know, no streaming site is allowed to play her music. And that's just, and she's big.
Yeah. But and I just found out that, just saw this right now as I was checking out Adele's, you know, achievements. Apparently over 10 million people were trying to buy Adele's concert tickets. I think that is just, it's phenomenal, man. When is she coming to this country? I think it would be nice for Adele to come to.
Yeah, hey, you're going to break a lot of happy homes when she comes. That's all I see. I just see you. I see guys trying to buy tickets for their mains, their sides, their sides. It's just going to be one of those things.
Oh, man. I can already see what's going to be happening on social media. The memes are going to be insane.
Exactly.
It's going to be ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
But I would love for Adele to come. So it would be very nice.
No, it would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be, unbelievable. Bringing it back to SA,
yeah,
as far as some of the musicians. And I think the only artist I would speak about in the year 2015, honestly, would be Black Coffee. I guess we'll throw in Casper for filling up the dome.
Yeah, look, I'm not a big Casper fan, but, you know, big ups. He's done some amazing things.
He's done a amazing thing.
No, I think he's done some amazing things.
What besides the dome?
The MTN deal that they signed, you know.
That was as a direct result of the dome.
No, didn't he do that just before? Or was it just after?
No. From my understanding, once he hit 16,000 tickets, that's when everyone started jumping on board, which is when the MTN deal happened.
Okay, no, fair enough. So, you know, one hand washes the other.
I guess so.
But look, he's done things that our local artists, the rest of the guys that have been in the game for much longer than him, haven't been able to do.
True.
So even like judging him from the work that he's done, not the person that he is, he's an amazing artist. You know, you can't hate on that. He filled up the dome.
He filled up the dome. He really did. It wasn't even an if or no, but no, or no, maybe. He's done it. Yeah.
He's done it.
So,
and that's
all props for that. No, I mean, definitely. I don't think we'll ever speak of 2015 without mentioning Casper.
Definitely.
Another thing about Casper, I think him and AKA need to really switch this thing off now. We've had enough.
Look, you know what? Those guys, if they want to beef, they must beef. If they don't want to beef, they must, like, squash the beef or whatever. But this whole back and forth play stuff, it doesn't work.
You know? It doesn't. I think the most irritating thing was when those diss tracks came out. Composure as well as Dust to Dust. I mean, I listened to both of them and I felt like, you know, you remember like back in the day when we were kids and stuff, one day.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
That's what happened, man. They were just dissing each other. Well, not even dissing each other. It was like, what do they call it in the States? Playing whatever. Conrad, the term escapes me. But, you know, it was just...
Look, they were pussyfooting around.
It really was. You know, I mean...
If you're gonna beef with another guy, especially as a rapper in the game, you know, go back, look at NWA, Ice Cube, LL,
Ice Cube. Cannabis.
That's beef.
That is beef. Look at. Well, not like, don't take it as far as Biggie and Pac, but I mean, as far as the music was concerned, that is beef. That is Eminem against.
Yeah, no, but Eminem is a career killer. Yeah, so, he's just if Eminem disses you on a track, it's
just
late.
Just let it go.
Yeah,
let it
go. No, it's like. It's no finished. Record company is working with you after that.
It's like that guy is the Undertaker of hip hop.
Yeah,
technically speaking,
he is done and dusted.
So as far as the level of those diss tracks, I was terribly disappointed. It fell short of all the hype that was put around the tracks themselves.
Look, I'm not on social media. Conscious decision.
Yes,
it's just not one of those things I do, but. You know, listening to the periphery and the stuff that came out and the stuff that the fellas talk about. The stuff that I heard, they're trying. But when you compare the stuff they were doing to some of the music that's come out from some of the young cats, the guys that are new in the game.
Yeah.
You know, they got to step up or shut up.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
They really do. I'm just waiting for, you know... Because we didn't get a knockout blow. No one delivered a knockout blow. No one did.
No, it's like they spoke to each other and they said, guys, how are we going to improve sales?
Yeah.
You know?
No doubt.
It's one of those. It didn't look like there was real beef. You know, even with the diss track and them taking things personally, it was never like, yo, I'm ending your career. It was like, yo, was just, I'm trying to fill up the dome, or yo, I'm trying to, guys, buy my next
album,
you know.
Because I think AKA right now has to be putting together work on a new album. He released Levels last year, I believe, and I think the time has come. What I will be looking forward to, well, not necessarily looking forward to, but I'll be keeping a very close eye on what happens with Casper in 2016 as far as the music is concerned. I haven't heard too many, I've listened to the album Tolo Fellow, but I haven't heard
I haven't heard anything. The stuff from Book Casper and Book AKA, the stuff that I hear is off the radio.
Yeah. You
know, like here, there.
I haven't heard anything as big as, I don't think he has a Doc Shebeleza on this album.
Yeah.
On this new one. I don't think he has that.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
You mentioned off air that you think Simon Cowell had a major year.
Simon Cowell with One Direction and all the other artists under his belt. Come on.
He murdered this year.
No, he murdered. Killed. I mean, forget just Slayed, forget just the shows. He's like the guy. I was listening to one of the fellas yesterday saying that Simon Cowell's text bill is bigger than all the traffic fines they collect in the UK.
Just his
tax bill. That's not even the amount of money he's making. That's just how much he's paying on tax.
Wow.
You know, like, this guy is moving the game.
Yeah.
And whether you like him or not, whether you like his music, the artist, he knows. He knows what he's doing. He's the epitome of, you know, musical engineering.
Yeah.
Like, he goes and he finds these kids and he puts them together and he makes them the biggest things. I mean, what he's done with One Direction
is just madness.
Is insane.
It is. It really is.
And
really,
when you go back in the day, he's been doing it. He goes all the way back to like Boy's Life.
Yeah.
You know, so he's been in the game. He's been doing it. And artists just keep on getting bigger and bigger and better.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Music god, Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
I hate him. There's this one artist, though, that's really, really pissing me off. And he's pissing me off because I find myself bobbing my head and moving to his music. Justin Bieber. I'm going to...
You know what?
Justin. No.
I think it's an age thing, but with the growing up, Justin is the one, hey?
It's so frustrating.
No, he's the one. He's
it
the
is
one.
So
I won't even
like,
even on my way here, I was jamming one of his tracks, the one with Skrillex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, what do you mean? Yeah.
No, one of them. Either What Do You Mean or Where Are You Now? Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? I liked that track before I knew Justin was on it. And he's just making good music. I mean, he's got some. He's slaying. He's slaying.
He is. And when I think about from Baby. I was like, no, this kid can't be doing this.
No, but he's growing up. That's the other thing. He's growing up, he's maturing, and you can't hate. He's doing the right thing. I think now he's found his voice and he's found his direction. And he's no longer that little pop artist. He's now like becoming a musician. And even the people he's hanging around with, the trouble he's getting into, seems like the kid's growing up.
You know, I never thought the day would come that I'd be that guy that's going to play a Justin Bieber song. I did not see that one coming. I really didn't.
You know, I'm an advocate of good music, so regardless of the artist, the place, what it, you know, as long as it touches you, it makes you move.
Yeah.
You know, puts a smile on your face. That's what it's about.
And that's what he has done.
No, he essentially has.
That's exactly what he has done. I wanted us to talk about this Black Coffee.
Ooh, Coachella.
man. That guy, I think he
single-handedly took over the game.
I wouldn't have put it like that, but yeah, he has.
No, he has.
I mean, he it's almost as if he looked at what, you know, artists and DJs in this country were doing, and he thought to himself, fuck it, I can do this 10 times bigger. We can go even further than what the status quo is.
No, I think because he's always been one step ahead of the game, you know, and now it happens with a lot of artists where the minute there's no longer pressure, there's no longer financial pressure, you know, ego there's none of that stuff driving you.
Yeah.
The guys sit back and they start making music for themselves, and you find that that's the stuff, you know, that's the stuff of legend.
Yeah.
That's that real good music. Not the commercial, I'm trying to sign a deal or make some money type thing. And I think that's what's happened to Black Coffee. He's now at a point where the world has stood up and recognized.
Yeah. And when you listen to this body of work, Pieces of Me, his new album.
Yeah, it's insane.
It really is. I mean, each song, you can hear that it's a South African jam, no doubt. Exactly. But it is so, it's got an international feel to it. It's global. It's not just for...
No, but we, South Africa, we are the leaders in house music, you know?
We are, no doubt. I mean, no doubt.
Excuse me. You go to the UK and... You hear our jams.
Yeah.
They play our jams more than we play our jams here at home.
Yeah, true.
So it's that sort of appreciation. And they've gone and done the right thing. They've taken this to the next level. Now that they've got more money, more resources, more contacts, more experience, you know, better level of production as well. Because they're out there learning. Every day is a hustle.
True. No doubt.
And they've gone and they've stepped it up.
They have. And it's such a beautiful thing. I think it also makes it... how can I put this? It makes you as an up and coming musician, or a, for the lack of a better term, wannabe musician. I mean, you watch these guys and you think to yourself, you know what? If they can do it, so can I.
Everybody needs role model.
Yeah. All right. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of it, man. Mo,
already?
Yes. Wow. Can you believe that?
Yeah, man.
It went quick. Just like this year. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for coming through, my dude.
Anytime, brother. Anytime.
It was. It's been fun. Shout out to Buntle Modisele. Unfortunately, she couldn't come through. She needed to take her mom to the hospital. I hope your mom is feeling much better. And I guess I'll have to drag you into the studio some other time, and we can hang out. It's been cool. 20 something. We are out of here. Yeah, man. So as you know, on the 31st, you don't need to be anywhere else. Come through. Join us, man. It'll be fun. Be amazing.
I'll be there.
Are you gonna be there?
I'm gonna be there.
All right.
It just sounded so good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's gonna be fun. Lastly, I can't believe I'm, you know, sending another shout out to another fallen soul. But a very good friend of mine got shot this past Tuesday. R.I.P. Monde Jam Jam. Man, you'll forever be missed. You'll forever be loved. All right. We out of here.
This is CliffCentral.com.